We're in a new series in 1 Corinthians over the next few weeks. What happens when someone becomes a Christian? What does it mean for their day-to-day life? What does it mean for the future? Well, come along with us and see how Paul answers that question over the next few weeks. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 6, going through to chapter 3, verse 4. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and a God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts, except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. But since there is jealousy and quarrelling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? This evening, we are thinking about what is going on as the gospel is proclaimed. What is going on as the gospel is proclaimed? Just remember the situation in Corinth. The church is divided over preachers. They're forming teams, Team Paul, Team Apollos, Team Cephas. Who is the better preacher? Who is wiser to follow? We saw last week, if you were here with us, that it's foolishness. It's foolishness because the world out there, they just don't care. They think the whole enterprise of the message of the cross is foolish anyway. So why bother? Well, this evening, Paul is changing his angle and he's starting to give the corrective. He's starting to set the record straight. And for us to understand a bit of what he's doing, it is necessary for us to go back in time. I mean, it feels like years ago, but do you remember when we all used to sit in front of our computer screens looking at each other, looking at other people who were looking at their computer screen as well? And almost every time we did it, someone would say something along the lines of, can you hear me? Yes, I'm speaking of those beloved days of Zoom. When every time, I'm sure it's almost every time that we used it, there was some kind of communication issue, wasn't there? Sometimes with the speaker, sometimes with Zoom as it carried the message over the wires, sometimes with the receiver. You're on mute. Your connection to Zoom is unstable. You need to unmute your speakers. Sorry for bringing back bad memories. But we needed to run the diagnostics, didn't we? And diagnostics is what Paul wants to run here in 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 3, 4. He wants to check the communication process, explain what is going on as the gospel is proclaimed. He's going to look at the speaker, the message deliverer, and the receiver. So what is going on as the gospel is proclaimed? Well, the answer is there in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 2. Have a look down at verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. What is happening as the gospel is proclaimed? Well, a message of wisdom is being spoken among the mature. Well, to put it in the terms of Zoom, the source of the message, wisdom, the message carrier, the gospel being spoken, and the intended receiver, or the mature. Now, that's going to need some explaining, isn't it? So let's look at each part of that in turn. Firstly, then, a message of wisdom. We saw last week the message of the cross is foolish according to the world's wisdom. So you could think that Paul is against wisdom. But here, he says the right sort of wisdom is God's wisdom. Have a look down at verses 6 and 7. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. The wisdom Paul is speaking about is not the wisdom of this age or the wisdom of the elites of this age, because all those things are perishing. Remember last week? They're coming to an end. Instead, this is a wisdom that comes from God. The speaker is God in our communication process, and his microphone is not on mute. But the wisdom has been hidden. Did you see that? The wisdom was not knowable. How was God going to save the world? Well, until the gospel came about, it was still a mystery. But God had planned it since time began for our glory. Do you see that? What Paul is saying here is that no human on their own can understand or discover God's plan, God's saving plan. We just think back to AD 30 for a moment. That's the date of Jesus' crucifixion. Just imagine what that would have looked like. If you were a bystander there, you'd probably have not given it a moment's notice. Great, another criminal suffering a humiliating death. Best not cost the Romans myself, I guess. See, the rulers of this age, that is the old creation age, they crucified Jesus. They thought of Jesus as a problem to be dealt with, one that could be dealt with by the power of Rome. Strong Rome, weak Jesus. Glorious nation, humiliated criminal. They did not understand how God was saving the world. And Paul can say that means they do not understand wisdom. Well, they are foolish. They're foolish. That is why they crucified Christ. But the wise, the message of wisdom, receives the cross differently, doesn't it? Those who are wise see the message of the cross as the way God brings about all of his promises for those that he loves. Have a look at verse 9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Paul takes us back to Isaiah 64 there. And that is a passage where Isaiah is praying for mercy. Praying for mercy to God, for God to make his presence known to his people. See, at the time, the people can't see. They can't hear. They can't think what God is going to do to save them out of exile. But on this side of the cross, we do. See, we understand, don't we, that the cross is how God saves his people. Now, before you get your hand and start patting yourself on the back, Paul has one more thing he needs to say to us. It is only because of the Spirit that those things are revealed. Verses 10 and 11. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. But who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Do you see there? It takes the work of the Spirit to reveal those things to us. And Paul's using an example that I'm sure we all know in this room. If you're a parent, if you're married, or if you were ever a teenager, is that everybody? I think that's everybody. Have you ever thought to yourself at any point in your life, why doesn't that other person just understand me? That's what Paul's tapping into here. I mean, we cannot read each other's minds, can we? It would make relationships far easier if we could. I would solve Zoom issues as well, wouldn't it? But it is a fact, we cannot read each other's minds. And if we can't read each other's minds, how could we ever think that we would know God's thoughts? But just notice here, the Spirit can know God's thoughts. So if you're tracking with this argument, this is a really clear place to see the Spirit is God himself. Not a force, not a power, as our Jehovah's Witness people would say, but God himself. And so it takes the Spirit to reveal God's thoughts. And the Spirit is whom all believers have received. Look at verse 12. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. So God's saving plan, unknown to us, given, he has given his Spirit to believers so that we can understand God's plan. Without the Spirit, you cannot understand God's plan. You cannot understand the cross. The message of the cross is foolishness. With the Spirit, you can understand the cross. You can understand the message of the cross, and you see it as wisdom. You see, it's all of God. All believers have the Spirit, and therefore all believers should understand and live in light of the cross. So diagnostics complete there. Speaker's end are done. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Microphone's not muted. Well, let's move to the next part of the chain, shall we? And that is the middleman, or the message deliverer. Or as Paul says in verse 6, we speak. So is it the delivery system that's broken? Remember the Corinthians, they're pitting these speakers against each other. They think the one is better than another. But Paul's been saying, hasn't he, that you're missing the point. He does that again here. Look at verse 13. This is what we speak. Not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. See, the message of the cross isn't a message of cleverness. It's not a message of human wisdom. Instead, what is it? It is a message taught by the Spirit. Again, we need to ask, what does Paul mean here? Well, he's saying that the message of the cross is not understandable to those without the Spirit. And it is not discoverable by human means. So it needs to be taught by the Spirit. See, these matters, they're not accessible to human intelligence. So as the preachers in Corinth are speaking, as they're preaching the message of the Spirit. They're explaining spiritual realities. They're declaring the wisdom of God. They're taking what God has given to them and passing it on, as the Spirit works through his word. See, contrary to what the Corinthians believe, these are not merely human words. Words that can be evaluated on how punchy they are, or their style, or how clever they sound. These are the words of the Spirit, and this is the power of God. Remember, the words of the Spirit are only come about by the Spirit of God. So you've got the speaker, you've got the message, the pipe is clear, the conduit is working. It's plain and simply Paul, Apollos and Cephas speaking the message of the cross. The connection is fine, no instability. What about the receiving end? Remember back to verse 6, the message is among the mature. Now you can read a whole load of things about teaching. There's a whole science of teaching. And one of the elements of teaching is to keep the bar raised, but to make it accessible. I mean, we know that. So everyone knows that. You encourage a small child to stop acting like a baby by saying, well, big kids do this. Don't you want to be a big kid? Big kids eat their Brussels sprouts. Don't you want to be a big kid? Well, the message of the cross is a message among the mature. But who are the mature? Well, we've seen already there are those without the Spirit, those who don't accept the message of the cross as wisdom. They accept it as foolishness. But Paul develops that a bit further here. Look at verses 14 and 15. So the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. What Paul is saying here is that those without the Spirit cannot judge the things that come from the Spirit. In this case, the word of the cross. So if a non-believer, a non-Christian, was to say, oh, well, the gospel is foolish, or they were to say, the style's not very impressive, well, that's fine. But since the message of the cross is a spiritual message, it's far bigger than that. It is bigger than anything this age has to offer. So it can't be judged in the categories of this age. Because to judge it that way would be to be worldly. For a group to judge the message of the cross based on how impressive a speaker seems would actually be a sign of worldliness or being like a non-believer. So instead, the message of the cross is to know the mind of the Lord. Paul quotes Isaiah 40 verse 13 in verse 16. I mean, we probably know that passage more as Behold Our God, that song. But he says, verse 16, For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? I mean, who can know the mind of the Lord? The answer in Isaiah is no one. No one in Isaiah's day could see how God was going to save his people out of Babylon. But wait a minute, Paul says. Now we have the Spirit. And the Spirit searches the deep things of God. And so we can know God's salvation plan. And what is that salvation plan? Well, it's the cross, isn't it? And so, big shock, he can say, end of verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. For a human without the Spirit to judge the gospel is for them to judge God. That's not a good place to be. But for those who have the Spirit, well, we can have the mind of the Lord. We can know how God saves. We know that is via the cross. And so believers are in a different position. So to judge the message of the cross on purely human categories is a really bad thing to do, because it is judging God's plan. It's assuming the message is merely words. There you go, diagnostic complete. Where's the issue? Well, the issue is in verses 1 to 4 of chapter 3. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as those who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarrelling among you, why are you not worldly? Why are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? Can you see what Paul's done there? The issue in Corinth is that they are still worldly. The receiving end is the problem. Instead of being mature, they're being babies. They're not ready for solid food. They are judging the message of the cross on a human, on a worldly, on a this agey level. They're acting like the world around them, instead of those who've been called. See, they think the message of the cross is merely human, subject to the judgments of humans. And Paul wants to say to them, well, you've missed the point. Just notice for a moment, this doesn't mean the Corinthians aren't believers. They are Christians. They are, as Paul started the letter, they are saints. They are brothers and sisters. But the issue is they are acting like the world. And so Paul says to them, you are not mature. You see, to be not mature is to still live like the rest of the world. Dividing the body of the Corinthian church over preachers shows they're still listening, they're still dominated, they're still living like the world. And that they haven't heard, they haven't understood the call to join the fellowship of the Son. The Corinthians are acting like this world, not like those who are part of the new creation that the cross began. And here's the beauty of what Paul is doing here. See, here's how it works on us. See, by taking us through this diagnostic process, Paul has explained to us what true wisdom is. True wisdom is the message of God that comes by the Spirit. The question this evening is, do you see that? Now he's explained, hasn't he, the apostles' role in that as the message carriers, the delivery system. They are speaking spiritual things to spiritual people. So is that you? And he's explained, hasn't he, who the receivers should be. Well, it's for the mature, it's among the mature. Those who have the Spirit and live by the Spirit. So is that you? What he's done is he's done that teaching technique. He's raised the bar. He's encouraging those who are listening to it to hear it. He's basically saying, do you want to be a big kid? Or more precisely, do you want to be mature? Because if you're mature, you will understand what God is doing through the call of the gospel. You will understand that it is not down to style. It's all about the substance. So you can see here, it might take some time for blockages to clear. But this explanation is meant to do that. And so the big question for us this evening is, do we get what is going on as the gospel is proclaimed? Do we want to be mature? Because if we want to be mature, we should listen to what Paul's saying here and put it into practice. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Any questions can come to podcast email podcast@david-couch.com. And I'll see you next week.